This is Time and Change, a three-part podcast celebrating 50 years of co-ed undergraduate singing at Yale. When the first undergraduate women entered Yale in 1969, not everyone connected with the university was on board. In part two of this podcast, people who were there at the time explain how the Yale Glee Club evolved from an all-male ensemble to a chorus of men and women. First up is Lou Spratlin, who composed City Song, the first piece of music you hear, for the Glee Club's 150th anniversary. He's followed by longtime Glee Club conductor Fenno Heath, class of 1950, and retired university secretary and vice president Sam Chauncey, class of 1957, who helped implement undergraduate coeducation.
My name is Lewis. I usually go by the nickname Lou Spratlin, class of 62. It was inevitable. It was in the air. I mean, there were some grumpy people who hated to see the old days go. I was not one of them by any means. It was way overdue. I thought Fenno was very courageous in just right off the bat making the Yale Glee Club a co-ed group. He said, we are now in co-ed school. Our principal choral group will be a co-ed group.
When it came time for co-education, I looked to the president and others to see what I should be doing with the Yale Glee Club. And no one told me anything about what to do, so I just went ahead and did the best I could.
When I came to Fenno's office, he said, I intend the Glee Club to be co-educational. He said that there was great music written for all women's voices. There was great music written for all men's voices. There was great music written for both. He had decided that for the Glee Club, it would be both men and women. But he said, as far as the singing groups, he urged me to be sure only that there was equity.
Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
I founded the New Blue as the first women's singing group in order to be sort of competitive with the Whiffenpoofs. And we saw to it that other groups were founded immediately thereafter.
A lot of preparations had been made for admitting women in many different corners of the university. They had put great attention to whether they needed to change the curriculum and what they had to do with the sports program, but I always felt that the singing program was underprepared.
Ellen Marshall, class of 1971.
When I first walked into Hendry Hall looking for the singing opportunity, I got the impression that nobody had really thought that one out. And I was told, keep your eye on the bulletin board outside Hendry Hall. We're working on something. I kept going back every few days, and eventually, after a few weeks, a sign went up inviting us to audition for the Yale Women's Chorus. And the irony was not lost on us that we had transferred to a co-ed institution only to be siphoned off into a special women's chorus, but it was understandable given the demographics. Kingman Brewster made a big point of saying that Yale was not going to shy away from its commitment to 1,000 male leaders a year. There were 4,000 men at Yale, about 580 women undergraduates. It was understandable that Fenno had doubts that he'd be able to recruit a set of women to balance correctly with the quality of men who were in the Glee Club. At the time, we had Freshman Glee Club and the Apollo Glee Club, which was mostly sophomores, and then the Glee Club, which was mostly juniors and seniors.
Dad loved the idea of co-education.
Sarah Heath, class of 73, and daughter of Glee Club conductor Fenno Heath.
It's just that for him, the immediate problem was that he was going to have to completely change everything he did. It wasn't like being an English teacher and now you just have some women in your class. He had to come up with a performing group with not many people to choose from. So he was very worried about how this was going to play out and what was he going to do with all the great arrangements and things he had written for men that were so successful.
Bob Bonds.
The year that I was president in 1970, one of my primary goals was to keep Fenno's spirits up. We all loved Fenno. We all respected Fenno. He was terrific at what he did, but he was not a happy camper that year. The foundation of what he had done and how he had built the Glee Club up was being changed. The rug was being pulled out from underneath his feet, and he knew he was going to have to adapt to it. He wasn't going to resist it, but understandably, he just wasn't very happy about having to do it.
The way that Fenno decided to deal with women coming into the Glee Club was to have two separate groups at first. That first year, the women went up to the third floor of Hendry Hall, above the Glee Club room, and had their rehearsals with a different conductor, Bruce Moore, and Fenno would have the men. And we didn't really get to practice with Fenno very much. So we did have a bit of a sense that we were being left out of something good. Especially when we found out that the men's group was going to be on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Here is the great Yale Glee Club singing a medley of college football singers. So let's have a songs. Let's have a wonderful answer.
There were no concerts with alumni organizations that the women participated in that first year. First of all, we had to learn a repertoire to get to the point where we could perform anything. They included us in two ways in concerts. They would traditionally have the Freshman Glee Club and the Apollo Glee Club, and then the Yale Glee Club perform in order. So they just stuck us in as one more group. The other thing that they did traditionally was to combine the Yale Glee Club with a visiting chorus of women for orchestral type material. And in that context, they substituted in the women's chorus, which was terrific because it exposed us as well as the men of the Glee Club to larger repertoire. In those first 2 years, we actually did Messiah and the Beethoven's Ninth and the Toreador scene from Carmen. Yes.
At the beginning of the first semester in 1969, Fenno had the Yale Glee Club, which was all male, and the Yale Women's Chorus, which was just women. And we performed side by side throughout the year in concerts. The Glee Club and the Yale Women's Chorus would only sing together at the very end of the program, usually one or two pieces in bright college years. And it wasn't until the European tour of 1970, in the summer of 1970, when we traveled together and started singing demanding SATB pieces, that I think we truly began feeling like an SATB ensemble.
Eight countries in 8 weeks for $815 per person. They thought it should be an all-male tour because when they were first planning it, Yale didn't have women. The people involved in leading the tour were class of 70, which was an all-male class, and they didn't even think about how the women would fit in. Over the Christmas break, I got a call from the two co-tour managers for the upcoming tour to Europe. That was Charlie Gates and Mark Fulford. And they said, we don't have enough men signed up for this summer tour. We've been planning it for almost a year, and we're going to have to cancel it if we can't fill out the numbers with some women.
My name is Charlie Gates. I was class of 1970. It was like breaking the ice and doing something that had never been done before.
They asked if I thought we could recruit about 25 women to balance out the approximately 25 men who had signed up so far, and I said yes. And they said they'd make me the third co-manager if I could bring in my team from the women's chorus and fill out approximately 50 traveling singers. I had two thoughts. One was June was an awfully long way out, and somehow I would manage to do this. And the other thought I had was I could probably recruit about 15 people from the existing women's chorus, and that left only 10 slots to fill some other way, and we'd figure it out.
I think Fenno was rather frightened at the thought of bringing women along on the tour. He had all these contacts and everything he'd done for years and the history and all that sort of thing, and he's suddenly being asked to do something on fairly short notice, which was kind of untested. And the only pushback that I remember in becoming a joint male-female group to go on tour was, I think, Fenno's anxiety about doing something that had never been done before, that had a short time frame to materialize, and he'd be responsible for the music. So I think there's a lot of anxiety about what is this going to sound like? What is this experience going to be? What does it do to the Glee Club's reputation?
Fenno was pretty convincing about the need for some strong singers. So we recruited three ringers from women's colleges, and then we recruited some from the other singing organizations around campus.
I think we had to push a little bit, to be honest, maybe more than a little bit. But I think once Fenno realized that, yes, we are actually going to go to Europe, and we are going to be standing on the stage concertizing together, it better be good. There was a point at which his attitude just changed, probably with a little panic, in terms of, okay, we're going to practice like hell, and we're going to make this wonderful.
We were billed as the Yale Glee Club and Yale Women's Chorus. The program that we put together had a segment that was all male, a segment that was all female, and then a combined chorus. A lot of that was because of the repertoire. We didn't have any joint repertoire at that point, and to teach us a whole evening's worth of music would have been more of a challenge than we were up for.
I think we started rocky because we hadn't had that much rehearsal time together. And so I think our first concerts had their rocky portions. But as we went through the whole concert, it got better and better and better and better.
I think socially it coalesced also. My name is Maggie Rogo. I was Yale class of 1972. Even before I joined the Glee Club, I went along on the 1970s summer tour as a helper. There was a sense that all these people were part of the Glee Club experience and that the women were making a very important contribution. Fenno recognized that in the course of the tour.
When we were at our very first concert in Plymouth, England, we were all jet-lagged and we didn't have music really under our belts at all. Fenno said when it came time to sing the football medley, the girls leave the stage and only the men get to sing. We were very incensed. So at the point when it was time to sing the football medley, we were in the wings. And Tracy Rewall, very quiet person generally, Tracy had found a back staircase that led up to a balcony, and she said, come on, come on, come on, come on.
I was sitting in the audience, and when they got to Bulldog, suddenly behind me from the organ loft, way up high above the audience, I could hear female voices singing, Bulldog, Bulldog, bow, wow, wow, Eli Yale.
Bulldog, Bulldog, bow, wow, wow.
And everybody looked up there, and there were some women who had gone up to the choir loft and were singing along with the end of the football medley. It was pretty funny, but it got not so funny when they got out of sync with the men. But then after that, Fenno decided, okay, I can't have these two groups out of sync. And so he invited the women to come on stage at the end of every concert and sing the football medley with the men.
We traveled all over Europe
Joanne Weibel-Kant, class of 1973.
So many different countries and performed in so many different wonderful places, Westminster Abbey, cathedrals in Paris, Cologne, Switzerland, Italy, Spain, the Netherlands, Denmark. It was really amazing. We did the beautiful Britain Ceremony of Carols. I specifically remember singing it in Westminster Abbey, and I will never forget that.
By the end of the tour, I think everyone would say, wow, this was wonderful, this is the way to go. The more you sing together, the more you travel together, the more you are together, you just kind of become one group.
For me, there was a point when we were a third of the way through the tour in Essen, Germany. There was a reception held at the Rathaus, which is the city hall, and I remember there was a female mayor. And we were drinking wine and eating hors d'oeuvres. And Fennell didn't put us in parts and didn't pull out the music. It was just impromptu. He gave us the pitches and we sang the Randall Thompson Alleluia. And at least for me, that was probably the point at which it all clicked in my head. It was a very modern building with kind of two stories and a staircase. And we were sort of arrayed around the room, and the resonance was wonderful. And it just sounded magnificent.
I had this memory of singing in Salamanca in the cathedral, which was, I think, just the most magnificent concert I've ever sung in that I can remember. We knew the music, you'd been practicing it and singing it by heart, and we were all together. It was a fabulous place to sing where you get, you know, the overtones coming back at you. It was just a wonderful concert. That to me is kind of an echo in my mind of the whole affair. I mean, this was an era when you wanted to make things happen and the world was changing. If I'd been there 2 years earlier or 2 years later, I wouldn't have been able to play that role. But I feel blessed to have had the chance to do that.
You're listening to Time and Change, a three-part podcast celebrating 50 years of co-ed undergraduate singing at Yale, told by the people who lived it. Part two included performances by the Yale Glee Club and its alumni, the Yale Band, the New Blue, Proof of the Pudding, the Yale Women's Chorus, and the Yale Symphony Orchestra. For a complete list of performers, interviewees, and repertoire, please visit the Yale Glee Club website. I'm Naomi Lewin, podcast producer.